opportunity to be here. Thank you for bringing us here safely, and Lord, may you be the focus of our time and our energy today, so that we can focus on you during the week, and Lord, let you have priority like you should. Lord, we need your guidance, we need your strength, we need, it's a tough world to live in, for all kinds of different reasons, illness and troubles around the world, and violence, and sickness, and loss, Lord. So we just pray that you would give us your strength and a sense of your presence to not only endure, but to shine through those times so that people would see your care and your love. We need it. We ask it from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is a cool psalm, and I probably partly picked it because Dan and Mark kept choosing those really short ones, you know, so I figured I had to balance it out by going the other direction and get something really long. So this one's kind of cool because it's an interesting combination of a history lesson and a praise song kind of together, which is not a normal kind of, I don't know, it just seems a little different. But it works because turns out history gives us a reason to praise. And this particular story is like at the center of everything. This story is the pivotal centerpiece of the entire Bible, especially the Old Testament. It is the one that everyone refers back to when they're talking about what God's like, how God takes care of us. Remember, remember, remember is said about a zillion times throughout the scriptures, and it's usually about this story. So it makes sense that, you know, they wrote a praise song about it because they want to remember it. So what's so important about this particular story? Well, I think that this story is about God finding someone who will listen, who will really listen, and explaining who he is, sharing who he is on a deeper level because they understand him at least this much, and they're going to listen this much and do what God wants them to do. I mean, who's more willing to listen than Abraham, right? The story starts with Abraham because God says to Abraham, let's go. I'm going to take you out, give you a new country. And Abraham says, well, okay, cool. I'll take my wife, my stuff, my everything, all my servants, and just go. And let you leave. God gives him a promise, but basically, he's willing to just go with it. And not only that, but later on in the story, he's willing to go to the extent of saying okay when God says, sacrifice your son, to the point where he almost put the knife down until the angel stopped him. I mean, that's the kind of guy you can get through to, right? If you're going to tell your story to the world, start with someone who's going to listen. And then expand them into a whole nation and teach a whole nation of people how to listen. And then teach them what you really want to say to the world. So God kept them walking out there in the forest until they couldn't remember anything but following them, following him. That whole nation was walking around the desert for 40 years until a whole generation dropped off dead, and nobody was there except a couple of people that even remembered what it was like not to follow God every step. Not to follow in the cloud, not to follow the fire, not to get up and break camp after one day or wait there for a month. Every single move of God, and they were taught how to follow God. And they were taught what God wanted from them. right from God's mouth to Moses to them. Pretty cool stuff. So, how is this story relevant to us? It seems like a very old and dusty story, but these principles that God taught to Israel are still ones that we're needing to learn today, at least ones I'm looking to learn. He taught us to listen, taught us to lean on him, taught us to go when he says go and stay when he says stay, taught us that he's the only one that can help us win our battles, that even when we think we've got it covered and we've got everything we need and we don't even need God on this one, ha! No, we need God on this one because we're not going to win without him. And then, you know, there's times when he sent Israel into battle with way too few people. They were sure they were going to get crushed, and they won. That's a good lesson for me to learn, that even when I don't feel like I've got it all together and got it all prepared, which I never do by the time I get up here, it feels like I could prepare for a month and not be ready, but it's God who comes through. And that happens over and over in my life, and I'm sure it does in yours too. The more I learn that lesson, the better off I am. He taught them that if they needed food and water, they would have it. Manna from heaven, water from the rock. Just enough, by the way. Don't take too much, it'll rot. Don't take too much, don't ask for too much. Just enough for today. And God provides. He taught them this crazy faith walk, which is something that's hard to learn. And I think this is the perfect way to look and see, how do we walk in faith? God leads me from place to place, and I usually don't know where I'm going, even when I think I do. Even when I've made plans to do other things, suddenly I break a finger and my plans change. And somehow I see God's plans happening when I thought I had it all figured out. So God made it clear that this story needed to be told over and over. Exodus 13, 14 through 16 says, in days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, and he basically tells the story. And it'll be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt by his mighty hand. Remember, remember, remind your kids, remind yourself, put it on your doorpost, put it on your head. Put it everywhere. Say it over and over. Tell it like a bedtime story. How many of you had bedtime stories read to you when you were a kid? Did you beg for the same one over and over until you had every page memorized? Yeah, I know your kids do, right? Yeah, it becomes a part of you. The story becomes a part of your life. And God wants the story to be part of our lives. Next slide. Remember the words, the wonders that he's done. Remember his miracles. Remember his judgments. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham. Wait. Descendants of Abraham, chosen ones of Israel, children of Jacob. Is that us? Yeah, that is us. Next slide. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So it does pertain to us. The promise does pertain to us, and even more, because Christ is the next chapter in that story. So we do have a connection. So why is history important? Why is looking back important to us? Well, as many of you know, I've taken up school bus driving. And it's a 40-foot bus, okay? It's so long that I can drive down the road and pass something and then hit it. Which I did with a tree. I rubbed a tree. But and it's because I couldn't see it in my mirror. I spent a lot of time in training. My trainer spent a lot of time getting me to look in my mirrors, pay attention to my mirrors, to the point that I thought I was looking at the mirrors more than I was looking forward on turns. I mean, I really feel like sometimes I'm not even looking out here. I'm looking in those mirrors. I've got to look at this one. I've got to look at that one. I've got to look at all of them. And then I got, you know, every time I turn on my signal, every time I go around a corner, I have to focus on those mirrors. And the reason I have to focus on those mirrors, because if I don't, I'll send dualies off the side of a turn, or I'll take out a curb, or I'll, you know, wipe out a car with the back end of my bus. All kinds of things that I've already passed can come back to bite me. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of sounds familiar in my life sometimes. That things that I've passed can come back to bite me. Things that I have done in the past keep biting sometimes, and sometimes things that, patterns that I ignore by not looking at the past come back and bite me, because then I tend to redo. We're creatures of habit. If you're used to doing something a certain way and you don't think about it, and it causes bad things to happen, you may have the bad things keep happening until you look back in that rearview mirror and you say, you know, that caused bad things to happen. Maybe I should fix that. Maybe there's something I can do different to keep that from happening again. History is important to look at. There's this guy, yeah, there's my mirrors. George Santanea says, those who can't remember the past are doomed to repeat it. And we are. So, let's not do that. So, looking back can do other things, too. We went to Mark's birthday party yesterday. Mark loved it. It was fun. But, you know, things like that, those kind of celebrations that are landmarks, kind of make you start thinking about, you know, what's led up to now. You invite friends that are kind of part of your past sometimes, and you think, wow, and you kind of get this sense of nostalgia, and you start to think, so where have I been, and where am I going, and what makes the future better for me? What's going to make this next year something special? I find it that it's not easy for me sometimes to set aside the time, like at New Year's, to make a resolution, because I'm so busy blasting forward. I've got so many things running down on me, full speed ahead, that pausing to look back at the past isn't always easy. But I encourage you to take time for it, and I encourage me to take time for it. And thank you, Mark, for that opportunity. I don't want the same patterns of the past to reemerge. I know women who have married over and over again people who abuse them because they don't see that there's something in their life that's attracting them to bad things. And we need to take a step back and do some healing in life. Without looking back, it's impossible to see that God's helped me so much to move forward. If I don't look back, I mean, this story helps us look back on this huge, wonderful story of miracles and crazy, amazing things, walking through the sea, the Red Sea. If I don't look back, I don't see God's miracles. I don't see His presence in my life. And I can start to get this
vision of things just happen, and I can get negative and I can get down because I'm not paying attention to the miracles that have happened and the things God's done in my life. So it's good to take a pause. We also, because we look back, and I mean, this way of linking this history with this praise song is kind of a way of, it gives us a sense of community. It gives us a sense of oneness. It gives us, it gave them a sense of a nation that was walking together for a purpose. And hopefully it does that for us as a church and for us as kind of the family of God. So we also need to share the good things and the struggles with other people. That's mayhem, right? We share all the good things and all the bad things that have happened in our lives because we're looking into ourselves to see where God's moved, but we also want to share that with other people. Because when we share where God's moved in our lives, we can encourage others, and we can commiserate with others, and we can feel their support, and so we can really feel one. So, another reason for remembering the Exodus story is that it's only in that context that the story of Jesus makes any sense. Okay? It's like, well, Jesus takes the place of the firstborn males that died in that plague. No more lambs and sheep need to be sacrificed. None of it. Jesus is that firstborn. Jesus' blood is like the blood of the lamb on the posts over the doors. Jesus kept the children, or Jesus is the manna, the bread, that's given to us every day when we need it most. That miraculously appears in the morning. Jesus is the firstborn Son of God. It became the final and complete sacrifice for us, and no more sacrifices are needed. Without that story, it doesn't make sense. We need to remember who we are, that we're God's children, and we're loved, and we're marked by our willingness to be led by God, our willingness to follow Jesus. God also remembers. I'm going to have to go a couple slides here. For he remembered his holy promise given to his servant Abraham. It reminds us that God remembers us, that we're important enough to God that he remembers us. He wants us to be safe, that he wants us to be cared for. We're his children. It comforts us to know that God remembers his promises. It makes our lives worthwhile. Because of Jesus, we have the promise that of Christ, this new covenant added on to the old covenant. In Luke 22:20, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." It's added on. It's another covenant that's more. Something special between us and the people that follow Christ. John 1:2. I'm going for the last part here. This is, Jesus Christ is the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. And that's that covenant. Sealed in his blood. So, God remembers us. God values us. God loves us. God leads us. God gets us out of a jam when we're really stuck. He gives us what we need. That's pretty miraculous, this story. I'm going to tell you another story about a friend of mine, Shirley Knight. She's a pastor in another church. And she started a ministry to people on the street. And she realized that the people on the street, the biggest challenge for them is self-esteem, a sense that God really does care about them, which you can imagine, it's kind of hard to feel like you're cared about when you're living on the street. And over time, she tried different things, and then one day she gave them something to memorize. And it goes like this. I'm a child of God. I'm loved by Him, and I'm beautiful but to behold, and I have something to share. And she had them memorize it and say it in their minds and say it to each other, and all with the idea of helping them understand that they did have something to contribute, that God does love them. Remember, remember, put it in your heart, tuck it away. Well, the people of the mission started doing this, and it caught on, and it started to be a really good thing. And one night, my friend Shirley got a call from the hospital, and one of the members of her church was there. So she went, and she found this woman. She'd been beat up and robbed and molested, and she was in bad shape. But when Shirley came into the room, she stood up. She asked her how she was. She said this. Next slide. I am a child. Sorry. I am a child of God. I am loved by Him, and I'm well. Come back in a little bit and I'll be beautiful to behold. But I have something to share. She was all tore up and bruised. And the thing is, it hadn't killed her spirit because she understood who she was. Because she tucked it into her heart. Because it was something else. So I was thinking maybe you might want to say it just once. Okay? Go back.
Okay.
I am a child of God. I am loved by Him, and I am beautiful to behold, and I have something to share. You are beautiful. You're beautiful in God's eyes. No matter what you think about yourself, you are beautiful. You are handcrafted by Him and made by Him and loved by Him, and you do have something to share. Now that is a reason for a worship song, don't you think? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for remembering us. Thank you for caring about us. Thank you for teaching us that you love us. The center of your teaching is you love us. How can we argue with that? How can we run from that? I don't want to. Teach us, get it into our hearts, get it into our minds. Help us to live it out in our world and to be excited about it and share it with other people. In Jesus' name, amen.